You will, you turn into your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. It says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand." Now this right here is speaking about the first Lord right here is the Lord God Almighty. The reason this guy speaks of God right here is because all the letters right here are capital. They're capital letters. But the second Lord says, "The Lord said unto my Lord." It starts out with a capital L, but then you have the O-R-D, lowercase. They're not capital. So this is God the Father, God the Son. And not only that, you can see where it is speaking about the Holy Ghost. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye know, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool." Now the foe right here is speaking about the devil. Speaking about his imps. Speaking about the individuals that have never trusted the Lord. "And therefore let all the house of Israel now assuredly. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom he had crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter right here speaking to the apostles and speaking to the others also. We see right here talking about men and brethren. Other words, he's speaking to the lost. He's speaking about the men. The individuals lost. Because he did not call them brethren. But he did say men and brethren. Now, the word brethren means Christ-like. Means that we must show ourselves, show the authority in which God lives within us. And we, as individuals, we as Christians, we that are saved by the grace of God, we should not call another brother or another sister by their
earthly given name. But we need to say, Sister Huff, Sister Donna, Sister Taylor, Sister Nancy, Sister Shelby, Sister all of us, Sister my mother, Virginia, Sister Virginia. You know, we're supposed to recognize them and who they are. They're Christians. That's the reason I believe the world has gotten the shape it's in. That's the reason I believe the churches has failed its duties. That's one of the duties that I believe the church as a whole has failed. It's failed in recognizing in whom the Christian, the believers are. And the male individuals, we should not say, how you doing, Ray? How you doing, Bill? No, we need to say, Brother Bill, Brother Ray, Brother Johnny, Brother Donnie. We should not call each one of us by our first name, because as a Christian, our first name is sister or brethren. Your brother. Who is my brother? My elder brother, my oldest brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is my father? He is the God of this universe. He is the God that created everything that we see. But therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man hath need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat in gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having the Father, and having the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning, Father, for thy precious word. Father, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. And Father, now we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would anoint these lips of clay. That, Father, that nothing will come from these lips this day or hereafter that will bring any type of shame unto you. Father, because you are worthy of all our praise, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. What the church is and how it grows. We can read in other revisions of the Bible. We can read the other non-King James Bible. And they are saying in 247, it reads like this. And day by day the Lord added to thy number those who were being saved. It is with these simple but significant words that Luke, the writer of Acts, concluded this chapter with. That right there, statement right there in 247, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He adds to the church daily. He may not be adding to the congregation here daily, but around the world, around the globe itself, there are individuals that is getting saved every moment of every minute of every hour of the day. Why? Because we still have preachers out here that will preach the gospel and will go about still telling the people that the church is the individual. The church is not this building. Even though we do come here and we do come here to worship Him. And we still have to maintain this building. But we also must maintain our own bodies. Why? Because this is it's a temple unto God. It's a temple worthy unto His leadership and His guidance and His trust. But we must look to Him for the faith that we have. I have no faith without Him. The only reason I even have any faith is because I trusted Him by faith when He saved my soul. I trusted Him by faith. John chapter 4, I think it's chapter 19, I believe it is. One of the verses says that. In the latter part of one of the verses it says that yes, Thomas had went about looking for something that he could put his trust in because he was one of the original 12 disciples there. But we also know that two of them wasn't there. Two of them was not present there. So it wasn't but 11 there that day. It wasn't but 11 disciples in that time period because Judas had went and hung himself and killed himself. Now these men right here was chosen by who? They weren't chosen by Peter. They weren't chosen by Paul. They weren't chosen by God. Who chose them? The Lord Jesus Christ chose them. And who was the treasurer of the 12?
It was none other than Judas. And what did he do? He betrayed him. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Sold him out. Then what happened? Then Peter
went up in the mountain there where Jesus was praying. Then the soldiers of the army had come to and looking for Jesus, and they followed Peter all the way.
They followed him. And what happened? One of the soldiers took the sword and they cut his ear off. What did Jesus do? Jesus picked up the ear from the ground and put it up like that. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to. He took his hand away from him when he did. His ear was like that has never been scarred. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was there. Anytime the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, he's going to do something. He's going to do something special. He's going to do something where the people will see him and not see men in thy power. But today we look up to men, we look up to the preachers, we look up to the evangelists, we look up to the deacons in the church, the Sunday school teachers. We are not supposed to look up to them. We're supposed to look up unto God. He's the one that we need to look to. He's the one that I need to look to each and every day. He is the shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's a shepherd here among the people that is here. But he's called me to be the pastor, the under shepherd. And the under shepherd needs to take care of his people, needs to take care of the people that he has given him to look after. I'm supposed to look after your well-being. I'm supposed to look after your spiritual needs. I'm supposed to look after you, and I should not ever allow somebody else that I will come up to and say anything against you or against the church. But people today, they do it all the time. They do it just out of, I think a whole lot of time is just out of habit. Because of the use of gossiping. And you know what the word gossip means. I mean, they ain't thinking about God. They ain't thinking about the church. They ain't thinking about nothing else but themselves. We don't need no more gossiping anymore. Just like John R. Rice said, he said, we need more people spreading the gospel than spreading the gossip. The church, speaking about the risen Lord, the risen Savior, that where we can have the doors of this sanctuary, this place of fellowship, this church, Faith Baptist Church, where we can have the doors here open, where people can come in and where they can be fed. And if I'm not feeding you, then something's wrong. I know I'm not the best pastor. I'm not the best preacher that there is. I know that and I realize that. But with all of my being, I try my very best to do what God has asked me to do and commanded me to do. I know I've let some of you down.
But that's the flesh. That's the flesh. The church certainly, speaking about the flock, speaking about the little flock, we knew about David being the shepherd there in the field over his sheep. No doubt David had problems with his sheep. He had problems with it because sometimes one of them would get away from the herd, get away from the other sheep, and would just stray off the herd. What would David do then? David would follow him, go get him, bring him back to the herd. Why? Because David had enough trust and faith in the others that the others was going to stay together. He brings that one back. What's that song, 99? Where's that one? Where's that one? Now we done got past the one today. Where's the 10? Where's the 15 that used to be faithful to the shepherd? Used to be faithful to the house of God. Where are they today? They've gone astray. They've gone astray, and sometimes when they go astray, we will sit back and we'll say, well, I knew they wouldn't last. We shouldn't feel like that toward anybody. Some people, you just can't. And I'm not up here to please anybody. I'm not up here to pacify anybody. Because if I was up here to please and to pacify individuals, then I'd bring me a case of pacifiers. And I'd set them up here under the pew and I'd have Brother Bill to pass them out so you can be pacified. But we should not be that young in Christ. We should grow day by day. And as we grow day by day, then we can get off of the mule. And then we can get on to the meat. The meat that can keep us together, that can make us strong. The mule can just give us nourishment. But the meat can give us strength. The risen Lord, He's always active in building His church. The progress and the growth of the church are helped or hindered by the witnesses and testimony of the members. Let me read that again. The progress and growth of the church are helped or hindered by the witness and the testimony of the members. We can either help the church by our testimony, by telling people that, hey, yes, you need it. Are you going to church anywhere? If you're not going to church, you ought to come down and try us out. Just give them 30 days. I've challenged people before, if they would just give the church, give Sunday school 30 days,
Try Sunday school for 30 days. And if you do not like it, if you cannot get nothing out of it, then you can come up and tell me that you won't be back. Because you didn't get none out of it. But I know that it is. Because God's word says that it is. Because God's word says, what did he say about his word? He says, my word shall not, will not go out. And not heed what he's talking about. In other words, my word shall not return. Unto me, saith the Lord. Shall not return unto me void. In other words, it shall not return. If I've heard the word, that it's going to, yes, maybe I might not do nothing with it right then, right that moment. But as long as I've had the word is going to take up a lodging place within a heart. Within our heart, within our being, within our mind. And when we get by ourselves, when we get on the job, and when we're doing the job, and we're not talking to one another, whatever, we're just trying to focus in on our job. And when we do, we become focused in on what God the Father has spoken to us about. When God the Father speaks, people will listen.
I didn't plan this, but I can go back and I can remember. It's probably been maybe 10, 12 years ago. Maybe 13 or 14, I don't know. But me and Brother James was at the mall. We was walking in the morning because Brother James was just had open heart surgery. And he had to go to the mall and walk. The doctor wanted to walk every day. Start out walking. One round for a week. The next week, push it up to two rounds. And there was a young man come over there and was walking with him too, and his body's sin had worked on his body. Sin had got him down to where he couldn't walk. He couldn't hardly do anything for himself. But then we'd always invite him to church, because I was going to Brother James at that time, and we'd invite him to church. We didn't invite him to church on the first time we invited him. It was on a Monday, I think. Say nothing else that week. We waited towards the end of the week, of the next week. We said something to him. We said, we'd love for you just to come and just give it church a try. 2 weeks later, I was out preaching somewhere. I forgot where was that now. Preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Filling in. Then I went to the Piedmont Mall that Monday morning. Brother James says, you missed it yesterday. I said, I did, what happened? I said, if I missed it, it had been something good happened yesterday. He said, it was. He said, last night, you know, the individual we've been praying for, trying to get him in church,
trying to get him saved? I said, yeah. He said, he got saved last night. And all of a sudden, out of my, some calls of my big mouth, but I just opened it up and I just lift my hand toward heaven and I just hollered it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The people that was in front of us walking and the people that was on the other side walking towards us and everything, they stopped in the track. They wanted to see where the noise comes from. Just like the people in the Bible. Just like the blind man. Just like the leper. Just like all of them when Jesus showed up. When he spoke, there was people.
We must give out a good testimony. We must have the right kind of testimony. We must tell people about Faith Baptist Church. And they say, well, I understand y'all have many people. I tell you, then y'all, what you got to say is, say, well, we may not have many people, but one thing I can say about them, they ain't dead. They're alive and well. You need to come and see what's going on. But what people want to see, they want to come into a church fellowship, a church building. They want to see the pews, where the pews are filled. And if they're not full, they won't come back. I look at it this way. It's their loss. It's their loss. I can just about bet you. And he hadn't said anything to me about it. But brother, I bet you, Brother Bill, when I first come to him that Wednesday night, and then 2 weeks later, and then about a week later, 2 weeks later, he asked me about, he said, would you consider taking the church? And I told him at that time, I said, right now, I just don't have the leadership of the Lord. I don't know what Brother B was thinking about. I really don't. But I bet you somewhere, within his mind somewhere, he was probably thinking. He just said that he'd get out of where he wants to take the church. Because we don't have a few people. We can't afford it. Hey, if you come in here, if I come in here, and if the church was packed completely out, and y'all said, well, hey, we can give you $100,000 a week. That's what you still can't afford. You can't. You cannot outgive God. You can't pay for something that comes from God. If I'm not mistaken, I told Brother B, I want to make money. Never has been. Never has been and never will be. I've known preachers before in their past that they'd leave a church making $300-$500 a week. God will touch the heart by going to the mountains to a church. Have 5 or 6 people. Couldn't afford them, even pay his gas.
He says, I do what God asked me to do. And he says, and I know God's going to take care of it. I don't have no problem with that. He went up out some weeks and made you $10. Some weeks, he might not get nothing. But it was faithful to God. He would go out and visit people. And the people that he'd see out at the stores and service stations. And they'd come up there and shake his hand. He says, there's not many that will do what you're doing in the way you've done it. There's not many left. He said, well, I've got to obey God. And he'll just shake his hand and thank him. He put something in the palm of his hand and stick it in his pocket. Going down the highway. He pulled a leg out. Look at it. Oh, God, baby. God has more than you got. God's got more than all the churches that they put in the city of Danville. Pennsylvania County, the state of Virginia. God has more than what we could ever spend. And I know some of us, we could spend the money. That's the reason some of us don't have it. Because we're made to spend it foolishly. That's the reason God has not given me that kind of wealth. But he knows that I spend it foolishly. And he's right, I would. I would hope and pray I wouldn't, but I would. I'd spend it foolishly.
Somebody said, well, won't you play the lottery? Well, what little I do get, or what little I do have, I'm going to keep at. I'm not going to get out here and just throw it. I would just take it and throw it out here in the wind. Because God's not pleased with that. God is not pleased with gambling. Because an individual that gets hooked on a lottery or gets hooked on this or that, they're going to forget about some of the other obligations that they have committed to, like the family. Like the family. The church was unified. The church was magnified. Are you magnifying Faith Baptist Church? Are you telling people about the love that is down here, Faith Baptist Church? Have you went about told anybody this past week? Or this past month, or this past year, what God is doing? If you haven't, I'm ashamed. Ashamed of you. Not just am I ashamed. I'm not that ashamed of where I'm embarrassed to the point. But Jesus says, what did Paul say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I believe. Paul says that he preaches the gospel.
And he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of him? Are we ashamed of him to the point that we can say, well, I'm ashamed of what he's done for me? No, we ain't ashamed of what he's done for us. Because he's done more for us than we can ever come about and want to do.
But if we'll go about doing what we need to do, we can add to the church. You know how you add to the church? You know how as individuals
will come into the church, will visit the church, not by just coming by and visiting, or just come by the city church doors and see a few cars there and they come in and they go, no. They will come because of the invitation that we give them. Because we invite them. And when we invite them, we must invite them with a smile on our face. And if y'all happen to, and if you wanted to, you could say, well, as far as I'm concerned, we got one of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest pastors of the day is. We love him to death. You need to come and hear him. But it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. I cannot do nothing without him. I cannot even walk even as bad as I do walk, as bad as I do stand. I can't even stand without him. I cannot even breathe without the breath of God. Yes. We're individuals
that should love the Lord. We should meet daily. We should care daily. And we should be winning souls. You say, well, preacher, I've been out there, I've visited and I've witnessed to them and everything. Says, but they haven't never got saved yet.
Have you ever thought about the possibility that maybe the reason it hasn't, they haven't, is that we're not faithful to God? Now, since we've had the revival in September, we've had one here at the church saved. Brother James, since then, has had seven saved. Started that Thursday night here. Six other individuals got saved since then. He's had one saved every week. Every week. Since about the second week in October. He had one that was saved that Sunday. I mean, every Thursday night here. But the second week in October, he's had one a week and saved. Hey, you know who? And I told Jane, I said, Jane, Don't give me credit. He says, I'm not giving you credit. He says, we know where all the credit is due. The credit is due to the Lord. He said, but I will say this much. You and your members down there, y'all have a part in each and every one of them saved because it all started with the revival. And in knowing all of that,
I thank God that we have 7 young people from the ages of 8 to 14 or 15 years old. It's not going that easy. So all the young people is not that bad. Some of them are the way they are is because of their parents. Don't want to raise them right. The characteristic of a growing church. God builds the church. We don't. God uses us to get his work done. So how many would receive a paycheck or a bonus at the end? We're going to all receive something. We're going to all receive at least 1 crown. That's the crown of life, where we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because we love him. But is that all you're going to accept? No, you shouldn't. Please, please, please. Get on fire. Don't be ashamed of Jesus because he was not ashamed of you. He wasn't ashamed of you. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father God, we ask that you may touch the people now at this time. Lord Jesus, we just ask, Father, that Father, if there's something that's on an individual's heart today, we ask, Lord Jesus, they'll come to an old-fashioned altar and they can get on that. They can get on the altar, get on their knees, and just pray to you, Father, and you're willing to answer their prayer according to your will. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Page 384.